It's nice to be with you again. Thank you very much for inviting us back. And thank you for your prayer support. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go in these next few moments, but what we did do is we got some information and prayer notes about our work. So if we don't have opportunity of getting round to talk about this, then we can certainly give you those anyway. There are perhaps one or two things that we ought to just draw attention to you if we have opportunity, and we'd like to do that. But it is Sunday morning, and it's good to concentrate on the Word of God and for God to help us and to lead us and instruct us. In my devotions, I've been reading through 2 Corinthians, and so I've based my thoughts on that. I haven't quite finished it yet, so I don't know quite what comes at the end. But I've got a rough idea what happens at the end. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's just read a little piece, shall we? And then we'll pick it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. It was this phrase, we have the same spirit of faith, that caught my eye as I read this text. So I'd like to base it on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith. Well, there's lots of Old Testament quotations in the New Testament. In fact, it said there are 265 Old Testament citations Old Testament citations of the New Testament. But when some of those are duplicated, and so you end up with about 365 quotations. Of course, a lot of those citations have to do with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not all of them. And this is one of them that is of a more general nature. And this is the one we're going to consider today. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. It's quoting from Psalm 116, verse 10, which says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. The psalmist in that Psalm 116 is giving thanks to God for being delivered out of a very, very difficult situation of despair and distress and affliction. And he had all these sort of pressures on his life. In fact, he says in one of the verses in Psalm 116, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He says that, the text, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. And he also adds to it in verse 10, I was greatly afflicted. So something was going on in his life, and he needed to express his faith in God at that traumatic time. And God answered his prayer. And his personal faith, as he trusted in God, he experienced through this trial of faith a sense that God had answered his prayer. And he says in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul. All the anguish and all the hardship and all the pains that had involved in this conflict were now over, and now he could say, return unto thy rest, O my soul, because his soul had been uneasy. It had been disturbed because of all the pressures that he was under. So now his personal faith, his personal storm of faith was over, and now he was determined with a renewed spirit to go on and serve God with this spirit of faith that he had exercised in God, who had delivered him out of this situation. And now he says in verse 10, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I've experienced the goodness of God, I've expressed my faith in him, and now I am determined to walk constantly and resolutely before God in the land of the living. Whatever happens, I am going to trust God and God exercise this my faith in him. This is the spirit of faith that he exercised. And so also, Paul quotes this then in 2 Corinthians, and it says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and we speak. We as men and women of God have come to personal faith in Christ Jesus, and we are exercising our personal faith. And in the church at Corinth, they were in a situation where they needed to engender this, to have this same spirit of faith that they found written in the Psalms. So why was it in the Corinth church? What were the situations that were going on where they needed to exercise this spirit of faith? And perhaps we might learn something from it for our own personal lives. But they also needed, like the psalmist, to walk constantly and resolutely and perpetually before God in the challenges that they faced, just like we have to work resolutely, perpetually before God in the challenges that we face, whatever our ministry might be. So what was their challenges? Why did they have to engender this spirit of faith? Well, in their church, those of you who are familiar with 2 Corinthians, and I'm sure most of you are, what was happening was that there were a group coming into the church, and they were pulling away people from the simplicity of the gospel. Some men had entered the church, and they did not preach what Paul preached. In fact, the Corinthians say, Paul says, they preached a different gospel. They preached a different Jesus. They seemed to be commending themselves and their cleverness and their ability rather than the content of the gospel. And it was as though the church was being deceived. And he says in one part in Corinthians, it was like, just like the serpent deceived Eve when he was in the garden. It was that sort of deception going into the church. And the situation was serious. And the Apostle Paul was rocked. You could see this as you read this letter. He was tremendously hurt by the situation that had happened in this church. It was really serious. And so what does he do? He writes a letter, and he calls it a painful letter, and he writes it to this church in Corinthians, the church that he had established, and he's addressing this serious situation. At the time, he was in Troas, and he was preaching the gospel in Troas. In fact, it says a wonderful door of opportunity had opened to him to preach the gospel there. And all sorts of doors had been opened to him. But at this time he had no rest in his spirit. The situation at the church at Corinth was so serious, he couldn't concentrate on his ministry entirely about preaching the gospel in Troas. And so he sent one of his companions, Titus, and he sent him off to Corinth, and he was waiting for his return. And he was waiting, and he was waiting, and still Titus didn't come back, and Paul was preaching and preaching, and yet his heart was thinking about the church that he had established, and he was wondering what was happening all the time, and praying. And so he decided, well, I'm going to meet Titus. I'm going to go along the road, and we're bound to meet up. And so he went on his way, and he started to meet, went on his journey. And as he was going, he met Titus on his journey, and he found out the situation actually wasn't as serious. The majority of the people in the church at Corinth hadn't gone over to the false teaching that was being proclaimed. But he wanted to make sure himself, and so he was going to go a third time to Corinth just to make sure that their faith in the simple basic gospel was increasing. And so while the festering sore was at Corinth, he had no heart. It affected him in preaching the gospel. He wanted, he says in later in the book, to preach in regions beyond. But he couldn't settle, he couldn't preach in those regions beyond until he knew that the people in Corinth were being firm in the faith. And all sorts of personal charges were aimed at Paul. These people had come in, not only had they said things that were not true about the gospel, and they were changing the gospel, but they're saying very personal, nasty things about the apostle Paul. And they said, oh look, Paul, when he writes his letters, he's very harsh. But when he's with us, in our presence, he's just like a meek person. And they said he was a weak person. And they conspired against him. They said his speech was uncultured. They said he's only in it for the money. And all these personal attacks that they put upon the apostle who founded that church, it really got to him, and he had to restrict his ministry until this matter was sorted out. Situations sometimes happen in the church which we wouldn't choose. And we need to exercise our spirit of faith in the Word of God, what the Word of God teaches. We need to exercise that God will honour His Word as we proclaim it. And we need to turn not to the left hand and to the right hand. And we need to be sure we're keeping to His Word. And yet, sometimes when we share some things, even with our sincerest efforts, we are sometimes misunderstood. Our actions and our motives can be questioned, and they can be challenged by people within the church. And issues, all sorts of arise within the church, and faith needs to be faith of the believer needs to be expressed so that we are true to our calling, and we believe that what God has called us to happens and occurs in the church in where we are fellowshipping. So Paul's heart was breaking for this church because of what had happened. And he making every effort to make sure the church was going upon gospel lines, that these men would not interfere with the truth of the gospel. Have you ever personally had to write a painful letter to somebody in the fellowship or some situation? And you've thought about this, and it's caused you so much pain to write it, and you juggle the sentence this way, and you juggle it in that way, and then when you've finished it, you feel as though you've got it right, but in some ways you haven't got it right. But you know the situation has to be addressed. And you know that when you're going to express your views, whether it's written or whether it's oral, it's going to be unpopular. But you have this conviction that the thing is right, the thing is of God, that the thing is according to the scripture, and things that are happening in this situation are not right and are not in accordance with Holy Scripture. And you have to express yourself. And we had this situation sometime, a few years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was to do with a Muslim convert, actually. And there were things going on about this situation that caused us to be really concerned about what was happening. And in fact, we were in quite torment about it. And we were wondering, this matter needs to be raised. But we knew that if we raised it, it would create a real problem in the fellowship. So the days passed, and the weeks passed, and the months passed, and we didn't say anything. But then we had this compulsion, our spirits had no peace, and we had to say something. So the day came when we had the opportunity, expressed what we believed about the situation, and we opened our mouths in the spirit of fear of God and in an atmosphere of love and concern for the church. But everything we said was misconstrued, and we were considered to be unfaithful to a person who was an individual who needed support at that time, and what we were saying, what they said, wasn't true, and we were uncompassionate to a needy brother. But we felt in our hearts what we had said was right. And sometimes you have to go through these situations, and sometimes these situations take a long time to go through. And this was what the Apostle Paul was doing. He had this conviction that this church needed to be taught and needed to come back on gospel lines. And he says this lovely verse in chapter 12, verse 15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." So what he's saying, I do it because I love you. And though I express my love to you, my abundant love to you, even though you love me less, I'm going to do this. So he expressed the spirit of faith. He expressed the spirit of faith in keeping to the gospel, in keeping to the principles in which we believe in within the church. And then just very quickly, we also express the spirit of faith amongst the lost and exercise our faith amongst unbelievers. Sometimes do you not feel that when you are preaching the gospel, then there's like we read in our text, it's like a veil over the eyes and over the heads of people, and they just cannot absorb the gospel, the truth of the gospel. They are impervious to it. And it reminds us, and it talks about in 2 Corinthians about this, about how Moses, He went in when he received the law, or the glorious revelation of the law. What did he do? The Apostle Paul talks about this in chapter 3. He said before delivering the glorious revelation to Israel, he entered first into the presence of God, and said when he emerged, his face was shining. Before the gospel preacher goes into the world and expresses his spirit of faith, he needs to enter into the presence of God, into his holy presence, where he is changed, as the apostle says, from glory to glory. He is changed so that he receives the spiritual capacity to face whatever should face him in his outreach, in his gospel endeavor. And what happens when we go in the presence of God, as we do every day, and enjoy his fellowship, then as we go out, into the world, the glory and the presence of God, the reading of his word, it begins to fade as we get muddled up with all sorts of issues that happen in the world. And this place of prayer where our hearts have been enraptured by God and the noble thoughts of God, they seem to fade. Just like Moses, when he went out of the presence of God, the glory began to fade little by little. Now Moses received the treasure, the revelation of the gospel, of the law rather. He received the revelation of the law and he went to speak this out to Israel. The believer has a revelation of the gospel, the treasure of the gospel, and it's our responsibility too to go and share this treasure and wait for the response. When Moses came down to the mountain and with the law, he didn't know what the response was going to be. When we go and on the doors and we meet with all sorts of Muslim people, we do not know what the response is going to be. But we have been in the presence of God. We have had that presence of, and that unction from God to encourage us to preach the gospel. So we go out and we preach the gospel, not knowing the response. What was the initial response when Moses came down from the mountain? What was it? What did he see? He saw apostasy. He saw the place of the golden calf. Immediately, the precious treasure that he had got as a revelation from God, it was being wrecked. It was being rejected. And so what did Moses do? He threw it on the ground. This wonderful revelation that God had given was being rejected by the people of Israel. So he threw it on the ground, and there it was, shattered into many pieces. The Christian preacher of the gospel, he goes and he shares the gospel with the unbeliever, this wonderful treasure, and he waits for the response. And sometimes the response is often very, very negative. And he thinks, I've got this wonderful treasure. This is how I personally came to know God as my Saviour, through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how I love him, because he shed his blood for me. I know and I've experienced these wonderful things. This is a wonderful treasure that God has given us. Like Moses, a wonderful treasure, and we go and we share it, and the treasure is rejected. Do you not sometimes feel that though you should throw the treasure on the floor and think, this treasure is having no effect, there's something wrong with the treasure? And you think,